How do you secure a nation's entire digital economy against a computer that doesn't exist yet? This week, the U.S. government answered with a $2 billion investment in quantum hardware and a series of non-negotiable deadlines for every federal agency. The quantum transition is no longer a future tense discussion. It's happening now. Welcome to Troy Technical Intelligence, your weekly briefing on the technology shaping global industry. I'm Susie.
And I'm Troy.
This week, the quantum computing sector has hit an inflection point. We're seeing a powerful convergence of government mandates, massive industrial policy investment, and tangible breakthroughs in real-world applications. But there's also a healthy dose of reality checking, as classical computers are proving more resilient than we thought.
Exactly, Susie. The narrative is shifting from theoretical potential to practical implementation. We're seeing deadlines for a cryptographic migration that will affect nearly every business, coupled with strategic funding to build a secure domestic supply chain for the hardware itself. For executives, the question is no longer if quantum matters, but how to prepare for its impact today.
Let's start with those deadlines. It seems Washington is getting serious about what they call the quantum apocalypse. We have new standards from NIST and a White House executive order in the works. Troy, break this down for us. What is happening?
On May 20th, the U.S. National Institute of Standards and Technology, or NIST, finalized its first three post-quantum cryptography standards. These are new encryption algorithms with names like Crystals Kyber and Crystals Dilithium, designed to be secure against attacks from a future fault-tolerant quantum computer.
So new digital locks to replace the ones quantum computers will eventually be able to pick.
Precisely. And to enforce this upgrade, a draft White House executive order is mandating a transition. Federal agencies must use these new standards for key establishment because
federal standards become de facto commercial standards, especially for anyone in a government supply chain. U.S. and European manufacturers selling to defense, aerospace, or critical infrastructure sectors will be required to be PQC compliant. All the data from your smart factory, your IoT sensors, your digital twin models, it all relies on encryption that will soon be obsolete.
And for trading companies?
Your entire business runs on secure data exchange, logistics platforms, payment systems, digital letters of credit. European trading companies that want to maintain seamless operations with U.S. partners or government clients will need to migrate their systems. Sourcing technology partners who are already PQC compliant is now a critical due diligence step.
So what's the actionable insight here? It sounds expensive.
It will be, but a data breach will be more expensive. Executives need to commission a cryptographic inventory now. You must identify every single system, device, and software package in your organization that uses public key cryptography. You cannot plan a budget for migration until you know the scale of the problem. This is a board-level risk management issue.
To build this new quantum secure world, you need the computers themselves. And it seems the U.S. government is putting serious money on the table, using the CHIPS Act. What's the headline, Troy?
The U.S. Department of Commerce has announced letters of intent for $2 billion in federal incentives to 9 companies to accelerate American leadership in quantum computing. This is a major industrial policy move to build a domestic quantum manufacturing base.
$2 billion is a huge number. Where is that money going specifically?
The lion's share, about $1 billion, is going to IBM to establish Anduin, America's first dedicated quantum chip foundry in New York. IBM is matching that with another billion of its own. Another $375 million is allocated to global foundries to create a secure domestic quantum foundry service for multiple types of quantum technologies.
So this isn't just about research, it's about building the factories. How does this affect European manufacturers? Is this a threat?
It's both a threat and an opportunity. The threat is that the U.S. is creating a highly integrated domestic quantum supply chain, potentially gaining a first-mover advantage. But for European manufacturers of high-precision components, like cryogenics, specialized lasers, or vacuum systems, this is a massive opportunity. IBM and Global Foundries will need a deep supply chain, and they will source globally for the best technology.
What about for trading and distribution companies?
They should be mapping this emerging ecosystem. The 7 other companies receiving funds, names like Quantinuum, Rigetti, and D-Wave, are the future leaders. Western trading companies should be looking to establish distribution rights or partnerships for the specialized materials and equipment this new quantum manufacturing sector will demand. Getting in early is key.
And the action item for executives watching this?
If you are in any related high-tech manufacturing sector, you need to evaluate how your products could fit into the quantum supply chain. Contact the economic development agencies in New York where these foundries are being built. Position your company as a key supplier for this government-backed industrial push.
This all sounds very top-down. Government mandates, big federal funding. But are we seeing any results on the ground? Are companies actually using these machines to solve real problems?
Absolutely. We're seeing quantum move from the lab into specific industrial applications. A prime example is the new collaboration announced May 21st between Quantinuum, a quantum computing leader, and the energy giant BP.
Energy exploration. How does quantum computing help find oil and gas?
It's all about seismic imaging. Simulating how waves travel underground to map reservoirs requires immense computational power, often taking months on supercomputers. Quantinuum and BP are developing quantum algorithms to dramatically speed up these simulations. This could significantly reduce exploration costs and the time it takes to bring resources to market.
And this isn't just in energy. We saw a similar story from the University of Oxford this week, but in life sciences.
That's right. An Oxford-led team achieved a world first by successfully encoding the entire genome of the hepatitis D virus onto a quantum computer. This involved representing the genome as a quantum state of 117 qubits. It's a foundational step towards using quantum computers to analyze complex biological data for drug discovery and personalized medicine.
So, for a European pharmaceutical manufacturer or a U.S. energy company, what's the takeaway?
The competitive landscape is being redrawn by computational capability. A European chemical company that can simulate new materials faster, or a U.S. pharma company that can model drug interactions more accurately, will have an enormous advantage. These are not sci-fi experiments anymore. They are strategic R&D projects with clear commercial goals.
And for trading companies?
This signals the birth of a new market for quantum as a service. Trading companies and distributors should be watching platforms like Amazon Braket and Microsoft Azure Quantum. As more industries begin running these quantum workloads, there will be a need for specialized consulting, software, and integration services to bridge the gap between industrial problems and the quantum hardware.
The actionable advice then?
If your business relies on complex simulation or optimization in logistics, material science, finance, or pharma, it is time to launch a pilot project. Partner with a company like Quantinuum or use a cloud platform to explore a specific high-value problem. The cost of experimentation is dropping, but the cost of being left behind is rising.
Troy, every week we talk about quantum's incredible potential, but a story on May 21st seemed to push back on that narrative. Researchers are claiming that classical computers can solve problems we thought were reserved for quantum machines. Is the quantum supremacy hype fading?
This is a fascinating and important development. A team from the Simons Foundation and Boston University has developed new classical algorithms that can efficiently solve complex quantum physics problems on, in some cases, a personal laptop. These are the very types of problems that were used in quantum supremacy demonstrations.
So, do we even need quantum computers if a regular laptop can do the job?
It's not that simple. This doesn't negate quantum computing. What it does is refine our understanding of where quantum computers will have a true, undeniable advantage. It forces the industry to focus on problems that are provably hard for any classical computer, not just the current ones. It's a sign of a maturing field.
How should a U.S. manufacturer interpret this? Does this mean they can press pause on their quantum strategy?
On the contrary, this clarifies the investment case. It means that the real value won't come from generic speedups, but from solving specific, intractable problems in areas like material simulation or drug discovery, like the Aalto University quantum-inspired algorithm that solves materials problems in seconds. U.S. and European firms should see this as a de-risking event. The hype is being filtered out, leaving a clearer picture of the most valuable near-term applications.
And for the trading and distribution companies?
This highlights the growing importance of hybrid solutions. The future isn't purely quantum. It's quantum and classical computers working together. There's a market opportunity for software and platforms that can intelligently route computational tasks to the best processor for the job, be it a CPU, a GPU, or a QPU.
So the final actionable insight is about focus?
Exactly. Don't invest in quantum computing as a blanket solution. Instead, work with experts to identify the specific class of problems within your industry that are truly beyond the reach of even these new, advanced classical algorithms. The Simons Foundation's work provides a better map of the quantum frontier. Use it to place your bets more wisely.
All right, Troy, it's been a packed week. Let's distill this all down. What is the key strategic intelligence our listeners should take away?
I see three critical takeaways. First, the post-quantum cryptography transition is now a matter of compliance and a fixed timeline. The White House and NIST have made it clear that waiting is not an option. The time to start your cryptographic inventory and budget for the migration is now.
So, from a theoretical threat to a line item in the budget, what's number two?
Second, the U.S. is executing a deliberate industrial policy to build a domestic quantum supply chain, anchored by the $2 billion in CHIPS Act funding for companies like IBM and GlobalFoundries. This creates both a competitive challenge and a significant supply chain opportunity for U.S. and European high-tech firms.
Get on the train or get run over by it. And the final takeaway?
Third, quantum is moving from the lab to industry. The partnerships between Quantinium and BP in energy and the genome encoding work at Oxford show that real-world applications are here. Businesses in computationally intensive sectors must begin proof-of-concept projects now to understand how this technology will reshape their competitive landscape. Don't wait for a perfect machine. Start solving problems today.
From compliance deadlines to industrial policy and real-world results, the message is clear. The era of quantum implementation has begun. That's all the time we have for this week's briefing.
Thank you for joining us.
We're Troy Technical Intelligence. If you want to stay ahead of the technology curve shaping your industry, be sure to subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. We'll be back next week with another strategic briefing.